This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. We are talking today with Dr. Alan Softee, a world-renowned internist and gastroenterologist with encyclopedic knowledge of mind-body wellness and preventative medicine. This winter, and again this summer, at the Peaks Resort and Spa in Telluride, Dr. Alan will once again lead wellness retreats using an evidence-based scientific approach to health and longevity. Stay tuned for dates or call 1-877-448-5416 for further information. That's 1-877-448-5416. This week, the subject is diet soda. Listen to what Dr. Alan has to say in response to debates going back to the 1970s and his specific response to a New York Times September headline that asked, does guzzling diet soda lead to an early demise? Dr. Alan, thanks once again for joining me.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Susan.
Welcome. The studies of people who drink soda have been extensive and have spanned, as I suggested, decades. However, few have fully controlled for other risk factors that might lead to chronic health issues, such as overweight or having a sedentary lifestyle. Please address this fact of life.
Well, I mean, diet soft drinks have been around for a while. Obviously, it has not conquered our obesity epidemic in this country. In fact, we have more and more obese people, even though we have diet drinks. And we're going to discuss some of the reasons that may relate to that. But it's very common. Approximately 20% of the U.S. population, even age 2 years old and older, consume diet drinks on any given day. And that comes from the CDC. And it seems like they'd be a healthier alternative to these sugar-laden sodas and juices. But research has shown that may very, in fact, not be the case. These may have significant deleterious effects that we'll delve into today. We have to look at a lot of the previous studies that have been done, and there's really lack of solid evidence on the health effects of artificially sweetened beverages and the potential influence of bias from the industry. Funded studies should be really taken seriously. A lot of the studies that we had previously were conducted by and funded by different people with different organizations within the industry. So there's significant potential effects of these, and they have not been successful in conquering our obesity epidemic. In fact, we're seeing an increase.
Okay. A 2012 study suggests the diet soda may change how the brain responds to sweet flavors by affecting dopamine, a neurotransmitter that plays a role in pleasure, motivation, and reward. Does that make sense to you? Or might it be the fact that frequently drinking diet soda might cause a person to crave more sweets, including sweet snacks and more soda? Or is it all of the above?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's all of the above. You know, and what we started out with is in some of the European studies that the risk of premature death was heightened in people that just consumed two or more glasses per day of these diet soft drinks. But it's even a lot of people consume a lot more than two glasses per day. Now, why is that they crave these sweets? Because there's parts of our brain that respond very well to these sweets that are taken in. Insulin levels go up even prior to this diet drink getting to your stomach. Actually, they start to go up a little bit even when you look at sweet things, when you smell sweet things, and when they hit your tongue. What's the increase in insulin do, potentially? If you have an increase in insulin levels, you may have a decrease in blood sugar because you're not buffering it with any calories, and then you get hungrier than you would have been previously. So maybe we're influence people to eat more. We've also convinced people that it's okay to have these sweet things, and so our brain craves these sweet drinks. When we have sugar, and we know this from sugar studies, release a chemical in your brain called CFOS, which is the same chemical released when you're a heroin addict. That's why we have this addicted society to these sugars and sweet-tasting things. And just because something is natural does not mean that it's necessarily healthy. I wouldn't recommend arsenic or lead to anybody, even though they're absolutely natural, or hemlock. So the word natural sweeteners does not mean that much in my vocabulary. We have to really look at the science that we have.
Okay. Now, relate all that you've said to specific medical conditions that correlate with diet soda, and then explain. So heart conditions, such as heart attack and high blood pressure, metabolic conditions, including diabetes and obesity, brain conditions, such as dementia and stroke, liver issues, such as non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of significant risk with diet drinks. Now, is it in part the diet drink, or is it part the lifestyle that goes along with the diet soft drinks? Those are things that are hard to delineate. We can control for weight and BMI in studies, but I can't control in exercise. But these are questionnaire studies, so some of these studies, people may lie. They may not tell us the truth. They're embarrassed about what they eat. So we always have to take that in a grain of salt. But if we look just, you know, one interesting study was diet drinks may be associated with strokes among postmenopausal women. And those that were consuming these diet drinks had 23% more likely to have a stroke, 31% more likely to have a clot-caused stroke. And they had more heart disease and fatal as well as non-fatal heart attack, and 16% more likely to die from any specific cause. And that was a pretty well-controlled study. So let's look at some of the other things. Aspartame is still one of the most popular and widely used artificial sweeteners on the market. It's 200 times sweeter than that table sugar that people have in front of them. And it has potential side effects. I mean, there's cognitive effects. Aspartame breaks down, and I don't want to get into the specifics, but phenylalanine and aspartic acid. And they've been leaked to decrease serotonin and dopamine production in the brain. There's studies looking at, you know, when you had, this is an older study, but depression was associated with those drinking diet soft drinks. When they looked at fruit punch, the risk for diet fruit punch compared to regular fruit punch, the depression rose 51%. You know, depression indexes rose. So, and these were relatively large studies done many, many years ago. Coffee was associated with a 10% lower risk of depression, but these diet drinks were associated with an increase in depression. Mental health side effects. You know, we know that there's been significant effects on mental health, and especially the aspartame-containing compounds. Although there's some of the reports are conflicting regarding neurobehavioral effects, such as cognition, mood, depression, headaches, you know, there's some tendency to believe that those are for real. There's other neurologic effects, you know, one can have from these. Some people have said there's an increase in migraines in other studies. Cardiovascular side effects, you know, older sweeteners, aside from aspartame, been indicated as a factor in cardiovascular events. Mm-hmm. So we look at the Women's Health Initiative observational studies, and there, you know, was increased risk in them. So basically the bottom line is, whether it be fatty liver, increased insulin levels, increased type 2 diabetes risk, you know, you're risking things with these artificial sweeteners. And a lot of the studies that were done previously were relatively poor studies, that were somewhat industry-funded, and we can go into some of the aspartame studies, but 73 of those studies were discounted out of, I think there was 150 or 160 studies. When they looked at that before it came on the market, 73 of them showed potential harm, but those were discounted, and there was some significant bias in the investigators in that.
Well, your response to my next question may relate and may not relate to some of this bias, but here it comes. One major healthcare provider wrote or published the following. Drinking a reasonable amount of diet soda a day, such as a can or two, isn't likely to hurt you. The artificial sweeteners and other chemicals currently used in diet sodas are safe for most people, and there's no credible evidence that these ingredients cause cancer. Some types of diet soda are even fortified with vitamins and minerals, but diet soda isn't a health drink or a silver bullet for weight loss. Although switching from regular soda to diet soda may save you calories, it's not clear if it's effective for preventing obesity and related health problems in the long term. Healthier low-cost choices abound, including water, skim milk, and unsweetened tea or coffee. So So would you respond to that statement overall? It was published by, as I said, by a major healthcare provider.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's not a study. It's an opinion piece. And it's an opinion that I disagree with pretty strongly. That if we look at studies posed, you know, there's a study last year, I think it was, diabetes care, and found a strong association with diet sodas and diabetes factors, and a significant link between diet soda and the development of high blood sugar levels, belly fat, and metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome is where we're affecting our cholesterol, our good cholesterol compared to our bad cholesterol. We have higher blood sugar, we have higher belly fat. And there's other studies showing this visceral fat, the fat we get in our abdominal area, is significantly risky, higher blood pressure. So I think that if you're looking over a short period of time, is it going to kill you over a few years? No. Is it better than a sugar-sweetened beverage? We're not sure. Is it as good as coffee, tea, sparkling water? Absolutely, they're not as good as those substances. I mean, so, and it's going to keep you addicted to these sweet, sugar-containing products that abound in our population. We need to be having whole foods, unprocessed foods, and not looking at sucralose and aspartame and sorbitol and stevia and erythritol and all these artificial type sweeteners that we have. We shouldn't need those. And the populations that live the longest, they don't have those. So I think they're ignoring a lot of the science that's out there. As I said, there's some investigator bias and things. I am not, hopefully not biased in any fashion, but as the sweet taste of artificial triggers this cephalic phase, which, you know, in our brain, which releases insulin, and there's effects of that. Insulin is a pro-inflammatory substance. When we have, and these wild swings in blood sugars may make a difference in regards to brain function, as we said mm-hmm. before, may make a difference in cardiovascular disease, may make a difference in all-cause mortality. So I think if one wants to tend to get off the sugar-sweetened beverages, go to the diet ones, but their plan should be to get off that, and not, that's not a long-term solution for a healthy diet, in my opinion.
So the key reason most people go to these diet drinks is, it's stated within the name of the drink, diet. So you've alluded to this, but I want you to conclude by restating your position on this particular simple point. If people are choosing diet over regular sodas to help them lose weight, are there any studies that show that these diet sodas actually work to that end?
Yeah, I think when people look at studies, they have to look at the end point of a study. Is it a year or two, or is it 2 months? So there's a significant effect whenever we change anything. People may lose a little bit of weight no matter what I do, because you're focusing more on your diet. But when we look at long-term studies, no, there's no data on that whatsoever. The controlling body weight has been successful with diet drinks. We have looked at long-term effects of diet soda on waist size, an indicator of this belly fat or visceral fat around our organs. And this type of fat increases the risk of chronic disease more than the fat located in any other part of your body. So fat arms aren't as bad as a fat belly. Fat legs aren't as bad. And the study lasted 9.4 years and 749 participants. And the waist circumference of participants increased when they drank diet soda for long periods of time. That's a long-term study. That's what we need. So there's really no data to say that this is going to help you in the long run. Short run, maybe. You are going to decrease the amount of calories in if you don't replace it with other things. But long-term, we don't really think this is a solution. And we really worry about this visceral fat or this belly fat in our population. We see an exploding amount of fatty liver. And it sounds like, well, that's not that big a deal. Well, fatty liver can cause liver failure. So we really need to emphasize healthy substitutions for these sugar-containing drinks rather than just switching from those to diet drinks.
Thank you very much. This has been Susan Zeebrock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking once again with Dr. Alan Softee. Our subject has been diet soda. Thank you once again, Dr. Alan, for taking time out of your schedule to talk with me.
Thanks, Susan, and it's an evolving topic that we'll probably have to explore again another year or two.
Thank you very much.
Take care.